Hey, before we get to this week's show, I need to tell you where my good friends Nacho Mamas are going to be at this week and what's going down with them. They will be working Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The breweries that they will be working at are all going to have beer to go. So kind of pull up, bring your growlers, get them filled up, get your orders of nachos to go, head home, and enjoy the greatest nachos on the planet made with the bestest ingredients going today. On Friday, April 3rd, they're going to be the Hop and Hound in Bothell from 5 to 8. Saturday, April the 4th, No Boat Brewing in Snoqualmie from 12 to 7 p.m. Sunday, April the 5th, Ridgecrest Public House in Shoreline from 4 to 7. Let me tell you this good stuff they're serving up this week. Okie dokie artichoke nachos, cheddar and fontina cheese sauces, artichoke dip, pickled carrots, sweet bell peppers, and pickled jalapenos. That was almost a tongue twister right there. Artichoke dip and chips, stinging nettle salsa verde and chips, and then for dessert, a Coke and Nib and sea salt brownies. Oh, baby. Follow them over at NachoMamasSeattle.com. See the rest of the menu, where they're going to be in the next coming weeks following this. Also over on Twitter, at NachoMamasSCA. Facebook, Instagram, at NachoMamasSeattle. Hashtag nachos and beer. Hashtag chose to go. Hey yo, this is the L Train, and thank you for tuning in to episode number 158 of the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am just chilling here at the Bigfoot Recording Production Center, or whatever the hell I used to call it. Just relaxing, of course. How the hell are everyone doing? You know, hope everyone's holding up. This quarantine thing's been tough, you know, even for the old L Train who loves to stay home and basically not really do a lot in the outside world. Hope we're all safe, staying healthy. You know, it is my second week of staying home. Been a little crazy around here, some stuff going on, and then also technical issues once again with the laptop that I had fixed multiple times. Well, that laptop is no more. I have replaced it with a HP all-in-one computer PC home. It's you know, I can't take it anywhere, but it is what it is. And after I worked out some bugs on there, got it all up and running, got my software on it for editing, and was editing this week's show on it, and it worked extremely well. So I'm happy about that. Going to be no more big lags or delays when I'm trying to edit. All of a sudden, you click on a little ways ahead as you're running it, and it just starts going like in the same spot and won't move. And a couple times, you know, it just kind of screwed me, and I had to restart the computer, start over, didn't save my editing, that kind of stuff. But hopefully, no more of that. And I'm so happy with my new computer. Mrs. Clams helped me find it, and so things are good. The things that's not really good right now, other than this coronavirus, you know, who the hell's idea is it on Twitter to start these damn tweets and adding a bunch of people where it's like you give your five favorite things, whether it's, you know, freaking movies or bands or cereals or whatever it might be, and then you tag another 28,000 people on it, and so when those people all start responding, your freaking Twitter's blowing up. So I go to check my Twitter like I do in the morning, and I got like 2,000, you know, notifications I got to go through, you know, and half of these I don't want to see. I ain't got time for all this. Maybe other people do. Well, I got time. Ain't nothing really going on. But anyway, you know, and I'm talking about you, producer Rob. You started this crap. I'm talking about you, Max. You've been doing this a couple times to me now, and I blame you. It's all your fault. And, you know, I'm over here trying to just, you know, be on social media and talk to the wrestling world, and then I got to go through thousands of notifications in my Twitter box, man. What the hell? makes me want to hire state of emergency. And, you know, producer Rob knows what that's all about. Maybe Max needs a little bit of that too. But no, in all seriousness, no, it's kind of fun. But it does blow up the Twitter a little bit. But it's kind of fun right now. But I'm looking at you guys, man. Look out. Anyway, just having some fun. And also, last couple nights, I've been having a little fun late night after Mrs. Clams has gone to bed. I put on a DVD on the computer, and it's not what you think. It's the old Houston wrestling territory days, and dude, it's been really fun. I've had it sitting up on a shelf collecting dust for, you know, a year or two now or whenever I got it. But man, I put that on the new computer because it's got that the DVD CD gimmick on it where you can actually still put stuff on the computer in a CD or a DVD. So check that out. A couple nights ago, I watched Bruiser Brody and The Spoiler. If you don't know who The Spoiler is, man, go check him out. You'll notice a little similar type stuff that him and The Undertaker do. And so that was a great match. And then you know, Dusty and Ivan Koloff in a 2 out of 3 casket match back in 1980. The casket didn't really even come into it, like there's a third fall or something. But and then watched Dusty taking on Brody in 1977. There was, you know, old school blood in it, old school wrestling. You know, I'll probably watch a little more of that today. So if you're into that kind of stuff, man, go check out some Houston wrestling. And, you know, you can't check out Houston wrestling on powerslam.tv, but head over there and get your free 30-day trial with our promo code BFPWFREE. Let me tell you that again. B like boy, F like Fred, P like power, W like world. I don't know why I just went with that. BFPWFREE, and get your free 30-day trial. Watch over 6,000 hours of some great independent wrestling. A new Defy Now just dropped last week. ECC Dub Ballroom Brawl Nights 1 and 2 dropped on there, I think, last week also. There's also PCW, Ultra, Bar Wrestling, DOA, and a whole lot of more. Like I said, use that free promo code. Go over there while you got all this time. And check out some free independent wrestling. Anyway, let's get to this week's guest. You can see her, actually, on independentwrestling.tv. Pardon me. Ring announcer for St. Louis Anarchy and a bunch of other shows. She does some announcing on there on independentwrestling.tv. She's also the new commentator for Without a Cause. She's going to be doing the commentary on the I Love WAC. That should be coming out hopefully soon. We get into all kinds of stuff, man. Her name is Stepstool Sarah, at Stepstool Sarah X on Twitter. Dude, we reach back, get into a bunch of her history, where she came from down there in St. Louis, Missouri. We chat some powerlifting, why she has the name Stepstool, you know, how the coronavirus is affecting her and things going on in her state and her friends and her, friends in wrestling. And then we talk, you know, growing up, talk a stone cold skateboard that her mom got her one time, St. Louis wrestling scene, being a commentator, how she got it, or excuse me, being a ring announcer and how she got into that, how she feels about doing this Without a Cause commentary. And we just get into a whole lot of fun stuff, a nice conversation. Thank you so much, Stepstool Sarah, for coming on and chatting for this week's show, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So check her out over there on Twitter at Stepstool Sarah X, and give her a follow. Anyway, you can check out this week's show and almost all shows over at BigfootProWrestling.com, and also almost all podcast platforms you can find us these days. Also over on SoundCloud as part of the Pro Wrestling Only Network. And, dude, next week we're going to talk to Mr. Podcast Extraordinaire, a Northwest Wrestling, like, you know, historian, Jim Valley. And then hopefully after that we'll be talking with Rich Bocchini from Defy and Major League Wrestling. And then dude named Craig at Proper Jam, on Twitter. And we're going to talk some wrestling, and then we're going to talk a lot of Pearl Jam, if you're into Pearl Jam, because that new record, Gigaton, just came out. And anyway, follow me over on Twitter, at BFPW Podcast, and check out the website, BigfootProWrestling.com. I'm the L-Train, and it's time to leave the station. Hey, this is the L Train, back for another great show this week. Got a great guest for you. The voice, the ring announcer for St. Louis Anarchy, our new commentator for Without a Cause and Independent Wrestling TV. And it also says here she's a power lifter. Step Stool Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm just fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to thank you, you know, real quick before we start. You know, we've had this scheduled a few times, so I just want to thank you and apologize at the same time, and appreciate so much you being very understanding.
Oh, yeah, it's no problem at all.
No, thank you very much. What is this powerlifting? You do a lot of powerlifting? I just read that on your Twitter.
So I've been into powerlifting for a little over 2 years now. February 14th, Valentine's Day, was actually like the actual 2 years of me joining the gym that I go to, and that's kind of like when I started learning more about it and getting more into it. I do that stuff, which is like really funny because people like never expect that from me, because I'm like 5 feet tall. I'm very small. And when they find out how much I can deadlift, which is still not a lot, not where I want to be, but my current deadlift PR right now is 275.
And where did it start for you?
I don't even know really like where I started. Probably like the mid upper like hundreds. I've always had like somewhat like stronger legs, but like obviously deadlifting is like super. It kind of combines literally anything and everything about your body, so it takes a lot more. So I kind of already like had a decent amount of strength. But just like the more that you do it, obviously the more you're going to keep going up in numbers.
So what about it that you love? You just like, did you start slow? Like, okay, a couple of days, I don't want to do this anymore. Or you just like each and every day, you just got more into it, more adrenaline pump for it. Does it give you like that rush that you need?
Yeah, it's definitely like a combination of all of that. I've had friends that were into powerlifting and I was like, well, that looks pretty cool. And I had originally started just going to Planet Fitness after years and years and years of saying that I wanted to get in better shape, this and that. And then once I kind of got like the hankering for like wanting to do powerlifting, I was like, well, I can't do that at Planet Fitness because this place sucks. So I reached out to some people I know in the area and asked them about like what gyms to join and this and that. So I found the gym. I had two free sessions with a trainer and he is into powerlifting. So that got me on the right path. And then I got lots of advice and help from other friends. And then I eventually joined, I made friends at my gym and we kind of started like a powerlifting group and we would do like Saturday morning lifts. And that definitely like help me get way more into it and learn a lot more. And they all compete and they all have like a coach and stuff. I don't, cause I unfortunately cannot afford that, but, everyone still kind of gives me the help and stuff. So it's really fun to see them like when they're competing and training and, knowing that whatever help that I need that they'll give it to me. But, in general, I just love powerlifting because I just want to be really strong. And I want to be in like really good shape and benefit myself, and it's just like really cool to know that like I could be super strong and be a very small woman, and like that is like the coolest thing ever.
Do you feel that you're in the best shape of your life right now?
No, not quite, but but I feel like I'm better than I have been before. I definitely over the last few months have seen a lot of growth, in the muscle that I'm building and stuff. So that's been really cool to see that as well.
So you're seeing your growth, you know, and probably making you even more excited to keep further pushing that goal.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, here's another tough question for you here. Why step stool?
Okay. So, this ties in with, my first ever time ring announcing, and the old St. Louis Anarchy ring was a higher ring and had no stairs. And obviously, female ring announcers are always, you know, wearing like dresses and skirts and stuff like that. So when I started off, I was kind of told by someone who was giving me some advice that, you know, like to go that route. And So the first night, because Anarchy used to run double shots on the weekend, so it was like a Friday night and a Saturday night show. So the first night I wore a dress, and the second night I wore a skirt, and I was like, well, I can't get in and out of this ring properly, because one, I'm short, and two, I'm, you know, in a dress.
Right.
So I found a step stool in the venue that they let me use, and a fan in the crowd one night during one of the shows when I was getting back into the ring goes, it's step stool Sarah, y'all. And then like it just kind of clicked, and I was like, oh, that's fun. And then I eventually got my own step stool, and it just kind of progressed from there. I did start off with my ring name just being Sarah Rose, which I thought of on the spot. My first night ring announcing, super generic. Obviously, Rose is an extremely generic fake last name. Has no ties to anything in my life, which is the funniest part about it. And then eventually, over the last like year and a half, people have just referred to me only as, because it would be Stepstool Sarah Rose. So like eventually people just kind of started calling me Stepstool or Stepstool Sarah. So I've just kind of adopted it more. So that's that's where that came from.
It's even in your Twitter handle at Stepstool Sarah X, right?
Yep, it sure is.
Well, hey, before we get into, you know, too much storytelling and stuff here, you know, how's things going for you? You know, a lot of shows have been canceled. People's work have been shut down. You know, I've been sent home from my work. I have a job in another 8 weeks. I get to come back, but I only get about 60% of my pay until then. Luckily, you know, I'm married and have a wife, like I said, that's still going full time. So we're doing okay and stuff, but other people aren't. You know, how's things going for you? And how's your disappointment right now of not being able to attend live shows?
So I have lost everything. Obviously, you know, we knew that wrestling was ending. And then my job went away because I work at Forever 21 in the mall. And, like, at first they were like, oh, it's just going to be the managers working. And then eventually by the Wednesday of that week, which was the week before last, they decided that all Forever 21s were going to close down, which obviously was going to happen because it's in the mall and, you know, everything's stupid. And then I lost my gym. So all three things that kept me busy, kept me sane, I don't have anymore. And that just, like, it really sucks, especially, like, not having wrestling, because that's, like, everything to me.
Yeah, it's got to be extremely tough. You know, right now you lost your, you know, like you said, your income, everything, and then you can't even fall back on going to that show, you know, every so often and stuff. So that's very tough, and I'm sorry to hear that for you, but man, I hope things get better here. I think, you know, Trump put us on another lockdown for 30 days or something like that, but hopefully some checks will start coming in the mail or something, man.
Yeah, seriously. I made sure to apply for unemployment, like, as soon as I could, so hopefully they start getting that out, and then we get that Corona check, and so I'll make ends meet till then.
Yeah, man, just got to get by, man, then things will just, you know, kick back up, hopefully. But so you're out in St. Louis, Missouri, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got that right before I start talking some stuff. So how is it out there? Like, you know, Washington was the first, you know, kind of epicenter for this virus. It seems like it's New York now. Things are doubling and tripling there every day. But how are the people reacting in Missouri? Everyone staying home like they should? And, you know, are the stores all jacked up like everyone else?
Stores are definitely jacked up. I know, like, a few days that I've been out just, like, driving around or, like, having to grab things, it didn't feel like anything was going on. Like, we've been on lockdown since, like, 6 p.m. last Monday, like, for St. Louis City and St. Louis County, like, as a whole. I don't know about the entire state of Missouri, but I know that, like, St. Louis, at least, and I think Kansas City's on lockdown, too. And, like, I was out, like, Thursday. I had to go to an appointment, and there was so many cars out. Like, you wouldn't have thought that we were on lockdown. And then, like, Friday, I was out driving around, and I drove through this park that we have here, which is called Forest Park, and it's bigger than Central Park, and it has our zoo, our history museum, science center, art museum, golf course, like, anything and everything is, like, all in Forest Park, and, like, people are just out, like, hanging out and just, like, doing things. And like, obviously, I know, like, it's finally like nice weather out, which we haven't had in quite a while. So I obviously get that people want to enjoy that. But like I said, we're supposed to be on lockdown, and like, people are just going out and, you know, not doing the things that they're supposed to. Like, if you're going to leave the house, like, you're only supposed to go to the store or, you know, go do the important things. But, you know, you got people out golfing, you got people out at parks, which now finally, most parks that I've seen recently have like the yellow caution tape around them, thank God. But yeah, like, I don't know, like, what the hell is wrong with people? They're just acting like nothing's going on. Like, I was driving, me and my nephew went and got ice cream yesterday, and I was driving back, and I saw these like two like younger, like early teenage kids, like at a park at like this church, like it was a playground, and I yelled at them. I said, "Go home." I feel like I'm a fucking boomer now.
Uh-oh.
Well,
But yeah, and you know, it is
no, but
crazy
like,
'cause
it's just crazy.
yeah, 'cause you know, I think if you need to get out of your house, just go take a quick walk around your neighborhood, around the block. That way you're not really running into too many people. If you just need to get out, or just, you know, if you have a yard you can hang out in, do a little of that, open the windows in your house, get that air in there if you need, you know. But yeah, don't go out and hang out in bunches. You know, you see it at the beaches in some of the states right now and things like that. And it's like the longer that stuff goes on, the longer we're going to be on this lockdown. So I can see or hear a car in the distance there. You told me earlier you were sitting out on your porch having a monster drink. We heard some birds.
Yeah, my neighbor across the street decided to cut his grass right now, so I'm trying to scoop more back on my porch so we can avoid that noise. If I have to go inside, I will.
Oh, we're probably okay. But,
Okay.
you know, speaking of groceries and things, I saw on your Twitter feed this morning you were having a little French toast like The Rock, you know.
Yeah, I've been craving French toast for like months now, and then like every time I've thought about making it, like I didn't have the powdered sugar, and I can't have French toast without powdered sugar. So finally, like the other week when I was at the grocery store, I remembered to grab powdered sugar, and it was there, luckily. So I finally made some today, and it was delicious.
Was bringing that up about The Rock because I saw he just released a video, or whoever's with him, you know, filmed it for him, and he had like these two stacks of French toast. It was his teach
Oh
me.
yeah, that it looked like an entire loaf.
Yeah, it was insane, and like he had peanut butter on it and syrup and stuff like that. Like one piece of that, I'd be like done. But him,
Oh yeah,
he probably
I had
hammered
like
that.
three regular pieces, and it only had like, you know, like the butter and then the powdered sugar. Like that's all I had on mine, and I was like ready to go back to sleep after that.
Oh man, so let's get a little history on you. So born and raised in St. Louis or somewhere else?
Yep, born and raised St. Louis my whole life. I have lived in the house I live in now since 95. Before that, I was born in 90. So before that, we lived with my grandparents, which was like only a few miles away from where we live now. So yeah, we've lived here my entire life.
Born in 1990, let me tell you something. That was the year I graduated, so you just made me feel real old. No, I know I'm old. It's okay. But so growing up back there in the 90s and stuff, you know, what kind of kid were you, you know, growing up? Were you into sports? Were you into video games? You know, were you just a book, you know, a school bookworm, or what was it?
I kind of did a lot of different things. Definitely dabbled in video games. I played softball for like 4 years when I was in elementary school. Other than that, I would just like run around and do like hood rat shit with my friends and just hang out. And like the worst part about this, 'cause I know where this is eventually gonna go and stuff. And like, unfortunately, growing up, I was like never into wrestling. I don't know why. I can't remember for the life of me. But in fourth grade, my mom got me a Stone Cold skateboard, and then I also remember having an Attitude Era game for PlayStation. So like, that's about the extent of my youth and wrestling. And now I want to kick myself in the ass for like not actually like watching wrestling back then. But we also didn't have cable at my house for the longest time. But like, I had access to cable at like my babysitter's house or like my grandparents' house. But like, I don't know, I'd always just be watching like cartoons or like other dumb stuff. And I really, really, really wish that I would have been more into wrestling when I was young, because that was some good stuff going on back then.
Oh, great stuff. Well, let me ask you this real quick. You said around the fourth grade or whatever, you got this stone cold skateboard or whatever. Why was it the stone cold skateboard? Was it just because it was cool? Your mom or whatever got that for you? Just like it was cool? Or were they into wrestling and said, you know, we should get her this stone cold thing?
So me and my mom actually recently had this conversation because I was just trying to be like, why did this happen? Like, I know I like wasn't like huge into wrestling or anything, but like how, and she doesn't even really remember why it was that, but it was great. I had that skateboard for a really long time. I never really was good at skateboarding or anything. I could, you know, just like steadily ride it down the street, couldn't do any tricks. I dabbled in BMX off and on throughout my youth and my teen years. Also could never really do any tricks, but it was cool to me. I was really into that kind of stuff. But yeah, so me and my mom totally have no recollection as to why I specifically got the Stone Cold skateboard.
And it was your first skateboard also, right? Okay, so you didn't skateboard before this. Suddenly you got this Stone Cold Steve Austin skateboard and kind of had to figure it out from there. Okay. Because I was like, well, maybe you've had other skateboards. And she's like, oh, this got the skull on it or, you know, whatever it did, you know, and she got it for you. But no, it's like, that's an amazing, like, gift. And look at you now. Huge wrestling fan.
Yeah, my man. If you would have told me even back then or even at my first indie show that I would be where I am right now, I would literally laugh in your face and be like, that's a fucking joke. Like, no. Because, like, even my mom is blown away at all this stuff that I do because I'm not always, like, super shy, but, like, she definitely knows that I have extremely shy tendencies, especially when it comes to, like, my social anxiety and stuff, and she's still blown away that I just, like, change into this, like, rambunctious, charismatic, like, person, like, that just comes out of her shell. Like, she knows that I have it in me, and she's seen that my whole life, but, like, to do it in front of a crowd, she's just completely blown away, but she's extremely supportive of it.
That's nice. So you weren't a fan as a young kid, you know? It's not like you're very old. You're still, like, young enough to be a kid compared to me. But, you know, so when did it all start for you? When did you have some friends? Did you meet a boyfriend, girlfriend? You know, who knows? Like, when did it come into your life?
So I don't remember, like specifically what drew me into it. I remember I was working at this, other store in the mall it was very similar to Forever 21. It was called Love Culture. And like, that's like, 7, 8 years ago. And I just randomly was like, I want to watch wrestling. Like, nothing or no one specifically got me into it. No specific wrestler, like, at the time drew me into it. It just kind of happened. And I've been hooked ever since.
Just decided one day you were just going to... How did you decide that? Okay, there's some stuff on TV. Let me check that out. Or was it like, hey, there's this show down the street in 2 weeks at some, you know, VFW hall or whatever it might be?
Yeah, I honestly, like, I have no idea, like, specifically what it was at all. It just kind of happened. But then when it came to, indie wrestling, my friend Jen and her boyfriend at the time, Justin, knew that I was into wrestling and they were into wrestling and, they lived about 30 minutes away from me over in Illinois. And, they knew about indie wrestling, and they're like, oh, well, you know, come to this show with us. Oh, no. So first it started out, they told me about these shows, and then I remember helping them, and they were helping Anarchy Flyer outside after, like, some WWE show. I can't remember if it was, like, a Raw or a SmackDown or a house show, but I remember, like, that was my first kind of, like, in at Anarchy. And this is, like, the first time I've even mentioned that on all the podcasts that I've been interviewed on. It just came into my brain. Nice. That had happened, but a PWCS show was happening before the Anarchy show that I first went to happened, and PWCS was a show that used to run here. They ended last year, so I went to my first PWCS show with my friends, and like ACH was there, Viking War Party was there, which Warhorse was a part of. Mm-hmm. Matt Fitchett from the Besties, I'm sure Davey Vega was there. All these other people, you know, that, like, I know and work with now all the time. So they're all at this PWCS show, and I'm hooked. And so like a month or 2 months later, anarchy happened. And as I said, they used to run double shots, so they'd do the Friday and Saturday. And I remember the first night that I went, Tommaso Ciampa was there. No idea who he was. Same with when I was at PWCS. No idea who ACH was. And so like my mind is just like blown now, like thinking back to that. So those were like my first ins of learning indie wrestling, and I'm like, oh my God, this has always been happening around me, and I had no idea. Obviously, and this had been a few years into, me getting back into the like watching wrestling, and I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And now that I've learned and have been around more, and finding out that like the Young Bucks and Candice LeRae and like all these other people wrestled at Anarchy back in the day, and I'm like, this is only 40 minutes from me, and I didn't know anything about it. I hate my life. Such a bummer. But funny story about that first PWCS show that I went to. So my friend, so ACH was there, obviously had no idea who he was, and my friend Jen that I was with, she told me about how obsessed white girls were with ACH, and they'd always be at these shows and they'd always have signs and this and that, and I'm like, oh my God, it'd be so funny if I took a picture with him. So I got a picture with him after the show, and it's really funny now that I have that story. And then now he's become a pretty good friend of mine, and now I have stories where he's jumped on my back in the middle of a strip club and was just he's just a freaking goof, and it's the funniest thing ever, just to like see like where I started off, just going to indie shows, and then kind of like where I am now.
That's awesome. Like, so you made kind of a good friend, just you didn't even know this guy, saw him, and then suddenly worked with him a little bit, and boom, now he's your pal jumping on you at a strip club.
Yep.
On your back, excuse me.
Yes.
Oh, that sounds fun. And a little bit for me, like doing this podcast, over the last few years, I've got to meet, a lot of the local talent, around here in the Pacific Northwest, and then seeing them at the shows, and like, you're talking to them on Twitter and everywhere else, and like you really get to know, not to break kayfabe or nothing, but no, they're really some really good people out there that you meet.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see here. So you started getting into independent wrestling. People are showing you all these shows. So it sounds like the Missouri, St. Louis area scene was pretty hot going then.
Oh, absolutely.
So how many different organizations or promotions are going on there now?
The only ones that matter is St. Louis Anarchy and Glory Pro.
Gotcha. Because back in the day, before your time, St. Louis is pretty hotbed back in the old NWA days. St. Louis wrestling with, Hall of Famer Harley Race out there. So it must be nice for the like people that are old enough to remember that, seeing that there's a nice scene kicking back up again.
Oh, absolutely.
So let me see here. So when did you started meeting these people, going to the shows and stuff? When did your first kind of, how did you get this ring announcing thing going on?
So when I started going to shows, I've been a photographer for over 10 years. I went to college for it. It's always been a passion and a hobby and turned into a career of mine. So once I started going to shows, I was like, oh my God, I need to take pictures here. So it took me a while to like feel comfortable taking my camera with me. So I eventually started bringing my camera, and I would just shoot pictures from my seat. And the more I went to shows, the more people saw my face around, the more I got to know the wrestlers, and would eventually follow them on like Facebook or Twitter, and like would tag them in the pictures. Like people got to know me more. And I eventually got to take more pictures for PWCS. And then I put out a Facebook status one day talking about how I would love to be involved, like more involved somehow. I didn't know how. I just kind of randomly made this Facebook post. Like I said, like maybe like ring announcing or something. I can't remember exactly what like all I put in the post. But Matt Jackson, who runs St. Louis Anarchy, formerly known as Pierre Abernathy, messaged me and asked if I wanted to ring announce for them. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, sure. Because obviously I wasn't expecting anything to come out of this random Facebook post of me just talking out of my ass. And he told me, like, the day of the show, like, they would, you know, run me through things, teach me, train me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, sick. I got there. I got bare minimum training, and I was basically thrown to the wolves. And I did not do good at all my first two nights, which is obviously expected. So, but I think I did better than I thought I would.
So up till then, you've never done anything like this except for maybe, you know, behind closed doors, having fun or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
So did you before that day, before you got the minimum, you know, training, did you have any idea of what you wanted to do? Did you watch other ring announcers? Did you ask people's opinions?
I definitely tried to watch some other ring announcers. I can't remember who specifically I would watch. I definitely got some advice from other people. But other than that, I just kind of went in semi-blind and just did the best that I could. And it's kind of one of those things where you just kind of learn as you go. And the more that you're around wrestling, the more that you're going to learn anything and everything. All the odds and ends of the business. You know, I've picked up on many little things that I've just noticed from other people and stuff like that.
And that first time, you know, you didn't even know what was going on. How were your nerves that day and then before you went through that curtain for the first time?
Oh, God, I was a mess. I was literally a mess. That entire weekend, I, like, barely ate because I had no appetite because I was so scared. And it was intense. It was a very intense time.
Oh, man, yeah. Must have been, you know, you must have been scared, but, like, super excited at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. it's probably one of the greatest things ever.
Okay, so that was your first couple times. Did you come back through the curtain and whoever was running the thing that hired you give you some, you know, advice for next time, or didn't, you know, show you the door? Obviously you got to come back, right?
Yes. Jackson was very open and understanding and helpful with everything. Anyone else that was around was also extremely helpful. And I got a lot of really good feedback from people. And I mean, obviously I haven't been that hated by anyone since. I think I've been doing something right since then, thank God.
Now, is it hard being in the ring? You know, you can hear people shouting out things. Has there been, you know, I'm sure there's funny stuff people shout out to you, positive stuff, but as you know, I'm sure there's the other kind of stuff too. How do you deal with kind of hearing stuff like that? Anything negative or, you know, something just not right? Someone should be, you know, screaming at you.
It's always interesting. Like, I'm a very emotional person. So when things like that happen, it feels like everything just happens so fast. And sometimes it's hard to think and react, in the best way possible. Like recently I was at a freelance show in Chicago on my birthday back in October. And, I was allowed to ring announce a match, and I went out there and me and Kirby were talking about how it was my birthday. And some guy in the crowd, because these are 21 and up shows, mm-hmm. or 18 and up, I can't remember. I think it's 21 and up. So obviously everyone's drinking. These shows would start at like 9 p.m. Central Time. So people are already drinking and stuff. And a guy in the crowd yells something at me about getting in my birthday suit. And I just like, I snapped and I like called him out on it. But unfortunately, we couldn't find him. Like who exactly it was. Like we knew the area that it came from, but we didn't know exactly who it was to throw him out. So that happened. One time when I was ring announcing at Black Label, a guy yelled at me to like take it off. And so like things like that have happened. And, I'll never forget one time I was ring announcing for PWCS. I was filling in for them and I was standing near the ropes, during like entrances, because it was going to be an in-ring introduction type of match. And I'm standing near the ropes and someone walks by the ring and smacks my ass. And I thought it was a guy at first. I had no idea like what had happened. And I was like, I had to keep my composure because I still had to do my ring announcing. Right. So afterwards, I asked some of the people that were sitting ringside, who was it? Like, what happened? Like, what did you see? And they pointed out that it was this girl. And so, I regret not telling anyone in the, like like the promoter or the security that we had at the time, like what had happened. And I was just like, I've never had this happen before. I was like terrified. And so after the show, like I called this girl out, and I was told afterwards that I definitely should have handled it better. But pretty much like what I did was just said, like, you know, like, that's not okay. Like, do not put your hands on people. And this girl was like, not only drunk, but like she was on some kind of like drugs, and she was like weird, and she like locked herself in the bathroom before like they finally like kicked her out. And
oh,
it was intense. But yeah, so like that's some of the crazy things that have happened. But obviously there are good and positive things that happen, and a lot of people are very supportive of me, and that really means a lot.
Yeah, that's, you know, the stuff that, you know, is most memorable, I'm sure, when people come up to you afterward and say what a great job you're doing, or, you know, hit you up on Twitter and say how great you did. That's got to be good stuff right there.
Oh, it really, really is. And that is kind of like what powers me to keep doing everything, especially with my campaign of, you know, making sure that wrestling is for everyone. Stuff like that is always really nice to get feedback on from people, as well as the jobs that I do.
And do you find it easier each time, or less nerves kicking up as you do this, or is the nerves kind of the same each and every time you do it, just because you're going to get that adrenaline rush?
I feel like there's definitely always going to be the nerves, even though I've been doing it for so long now. I'll never forget my first time when I used to ring announcer Black Label. And the first show that I did there, I was literally a mess. It felt like my first time ring announcing all over again. And someone almost offered me like a Xanax, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should just let this happen naturally. So there's definitely still times, especially now that I'm taking on a new role as doing commentary places. Like, that's a whole new level of, not like stress, but like wanting to do good, and, you know, not wanting to disappoint anyone and give my best. And it's a whole new type of performance that I have to do. So it's always fun. But obviously with photography, that's easy. I have no nerves there.
So you started bringing up the, you know, the commentary. I know you're going to do Without a Cause, or probably working on it right now. Hashtag I Love Whack. And I'm looking forward to hearing that. Before we get, is this your first time doing commentary for a promotion, or have you done this before?
So I've dabbled in it here and there. 01 USA, that runs in Central Illinois, has had me do it a couple times. I do pre-show commentary for Black Label Pro. Now that I'm not ring announcing there, so I do the pre-show commentary, and then I do backstage interviews at Black Label now. And then Bizarro Lucha, at the show before this last one, Trip Cassidy had me fill in on a couple matches, and that's when everyone was like putting me over, like how good I did and this and that, because I also was doing photography the same night. And then, like I said, I filled in on the two matches, and then he knew I was coming back for the most recent show that they had. And Jesse, Righteous Jesse, who also does commentary at Bizarro, his home promotion is Sup Graps down in Nashville, where he ring announces. So we knew that he was going to be down there. So Trip was like, I need you to do commentary again. And I was like, okay. So I was throwing on commentary, and then I had a plethora of random people coming in each match and like doing it with me. So that was nice. But a lot of awesome, happy, positive feedback for that too. And then the next day is when Bizarro Lucha offered me a full-time position on commentary next to Jesse whenever the return is of wrestling. So I have that. And then Max from Without a Cause reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do commentary for them, and I obliged. And unfortunately for that, it's just only going to be me at home doing post-show commentary until there's a possibility of me coming out to the Pacific Northwest, which I hope will happen.
Yay.
Because I would love to be there for a live Without a Cause show, to not only experience the shows live because they look amazing, but to also get to come to the Pacific Northwest for my first time ever. So fingers crossed that there's a possibility of that happening in the future, because I know that when I was announced as the new commentary for for Without a Cause that we had an amazing bunch of feedback from people, and everyone's like, oh my god, I want to meet her, oh my god, is she gonna come out? And you know, we've had to break everyone's hearts that obviously before this all happened, before wrestling went away, we had to break everyone's hearts and say, well, you know, maybe in the future, but obviously it's not in the plans for right now. So the commentary that I'll be doing is post show, and that's also a whole new level of stress that I'm learning to deal with, is doing commentary alone and at home, and it not being live, which is very fascinating.
Right, because, you know, at least ring announcing, there's people there, you know, you can kind of put things out of your mind, you know what you're saying, whether you just got it memorized or on a card or whatever. But man, you're sitting there watching this, and you don't have someone there to give you some feedback, and you're just kind of like trying to, you know, voice it over, act like you're announcing it live there and stuff. That's got to be an extreme amount of stress, because you got to send the product out.
Yes, it is. And I luckily I finished, all I had left recently was the main event of the I Heart Wax show, and I got that finished Saturday night and sent the files over to Max. So hopefully he doesn't hate it. and it's good enough so that can be put up soon. But yeah, it's crazy doing it alone and not having anyone to like bounce things off of. And I'm, like I said, I'm still extremely new to commentary, so still trying to figure out like wording and how to be that kind of quick-witted is also new to me. So if you guys, obviously you're listening to this, so you know Without a Cause pretty well, I apologize for any kind of fuck-ups I may do or this and that, because I'm still new to learning these people and the company in general. So I did my best. Please be gentle.
I'm sure you'll do fine. I'm sure people will enjoy it, and I'm sure if you do F it up, we'll give you one chance. But no, I'm sure they'll love it. I can't wait.
If not, you can just watch it on mute.
There you go. Just turn it off. No, I'm looking forward to it big time. And because that's got to be even harder doing that, because even if you're sitting there doing a live commentary with another person, if you freeze, at least the other person can kind of, you know, jump in there and, you know, kind of fill in, right, and get you back on course.
Yeah.
I've done that plenty of times in my openings. I'm just sitting here talking, all of a sudden I'm like, forget everything. You know, at least I can cut it out, you know, and stuff like that. But it's annoying sometimes, right? You completely just mess it up, and then you think about, well, I shouldn't even started like that. Let me try that again. And all of a sudden, like, seven takes later, you know, you're like, all right, I think I got it, or I just don't care now.
Yeah, and I think the worst part now is I've reached out to many of people that I respect that are commentators, and I asked for some advice because I figured it was the best thing to do. And someone told me, do not re-record. And so like I've been trying to strictly not do that, and I'm like, well, I trust this person, so I'll do this for now. But I'm just like, I know that there's so many things I could have done better, and it just, commentary is just a whole new level of like everything. And I want to give my best, and I want to learn anything and everything that I can, just so that it can be on par with my ring announcing, my photography, my backstage interviews, anything else that, you know, I do in wrestling, valeting. I want to give my all in every job that I do in wrestling, because it's all so important to me.
Well, the commentary, you know, you probably really got to make sure that you're yourself, right? You got to find your own voice. You want to kind of be copycatting someone else. I mean, you can use catchphrases and stuff like that, right? But you don't want someone to say, oh, you know, you're really too much like so-and-so or something like that, mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Yeah, don't want to be like that at all. I can only say, what a maneuver, what a devastating maneuver so much before someone's like, okay.
And so you seem to be doing a lot with independent wrestling TV. You're doing different, you know, announcing now, commentating, you know, things like that. How has this just evolved over the time? As soon as, I mean, are you working with them? Do they call you, hey, we need you to be at this show kind of stuff? Or?
So it hasn't exactly worked out like that yet. We've started like the VJ thing a little over 6 months ago, so it's still within a year, very less than a year of being new. So that's all still kind of in the process of finding out like what Jerry, aka Vin Gerard, wants to do with all of us and what his ideas are, but just trying to put out content and help put over IWTV as a whole. It's kind of like our main goal, putting over the shows that we go to, putting over the shows that are on the streaming service is huge. I got roped into kind of working IWTV stuff last year. I was asked by Jerry to do backstage interviews for the Collective Week show that they had a family reunion last year, and very soon before the show even happened, Jerry figured out that backstage interviews weren't going to work, so me and Rich Palladino got to split ring announcing duties, so that was kind of my first in for IWTV and working for them. But I got roped in because obviously, like, I've worked for Black Label, I've worked for St. Louis Anarchy, and a few other promotions that are aired on IWTV, so, you know, people knew my face, people knew who I was, I have a social media presence, so that's one of the reasons that I got roped in to being part of IWTV and eventually becoming an IWTV VJ.
Well, it sounds like something great to be roped into, I think. So what are your thoughts, like, just on independent wrestling in general in the last couple of years? It seems like it's just, you know, not just in Missouri, but all over the United States, it seems like it went to something people didn't know about or talk about very much till independent wrestling is more popular, that I think, than what's going on, you know, mainstream, even WWE and AEW. I mean, there's nothing against those. It's just like, man, there's so much more excitement, I think, on the indie scene currently.
I think that, like, the main cause for that is how intimate that indie shows are and how the wrestlers and workers can actually connect with the fan base and be there to get to know them, get a chance to show them exactly, like, what the performance means to not only the fans but to the wrestlers themselves. It's just so much better. And then, you know, now we have IWTV, we have High Spots, we have Fight TV, all these other things, you know, that helps people see wrestling, the indie wrestling from all over the country, and that's definitely put a huge eye on it, because before that, you know, like, we'd have, like, YouTube, or, you know, people would buy the DVDs, and now that we have these streaming services, it definitely gets a lot more eyes on a lot more companies, and I think that's huge and super important, and it's been incredible to see indie wrestling grow, and it's probably the coolest thing in the world, hands down.
Oh, I think so, because, you know, what's going on reminds me of, the indies remind me of the old territory days where, you know, all the different territories through the United States, you know, and the wrestlers would kind of go to different ones and stuff. And so I've really enjoyed it since I discovered, you know, a few years back, like Lucha Libre Volcanic out here and Defy, and then Max Without a Cause starting up his stuff. We have Prestige out here in Oregon, and there's a bunch more that I can't even think of at the top of my head, but lots and lots and lots and lots of great stuff. And, you know, like, you support wrestling for everyone. There's so much. Our champion at Defy right now, Ravenous Randy Myers, man, he's a great human being. I don't know if you know much about him.
I do not.
Oh, well, you need to listen to my last podcast with him. It's a two-parter, but he's an amazing human being. Follow him on Twitter. I love him. Great person.
Hell yeah, I will definitely look into that.
But anyway, this is where I usually kind of go, hey, what's coming up for you, where you're going to be, where you're working, but I don't think really anyone kind of knows right now. Is there anything scheduled for May or June that's still on the books right now coming up for you?
Most of mine, I think, are done for until June. I know that Anarchy is slated to come back June 12th. Other than that, let me look at my notes real quick and see what I have. That might still happen after May, because that's very tricky right now, because I don't know who's going to be able to do what when. We obviously don't even know if June is going to be an actual comeback time either.
Right.
Yeah, so in May I was supposed to have Anarchy, Black Label, and Glory, and in June I have Anarchy, Ohio Wrestling Alliance, Black Label Pro, and Glory Pro are all what I would have coming up in June, if that is still a go.
So how do people follow you on the social medias, the Instagram, the Twitters, the Facebooks, all that kind of stuff that you want people to see at in case they want to just follow you or maybe book you for a show or something?
Yeah, so my Instagram and Twitter are both at StepstoolSarahX. You can reach me on either of those. Don't add my Facebook unless I actually know who you are. Please and thank you. I'm trying to think. You can follow my podcast on Twitter. Our Twitter is at is Evolution Pod. Our name is It's Evolution Bebe, and it's a podcast all about women's wrestling with a focus on inclusivity and diversity, which we actually record today. I'm very excited. Other than that, that's pretty much like most of it. You can find me on TikTok. I think it's at StoolSarahX, so if anyone does TikTok. I have a Patreon. I can't think of what exactly the link is, but I know that if you just probably Google Patreon and Stepstool Sarah, you can find me on there as well.
I don't even know what TikTok is. I'm too old for it. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
TikTok is the best. Oh my God, it has
Is that
kept
where
me
how you
so
make all
sane.
those little videos and stuff you got on your Twitter?
Yes.
Yeah, those are fun. You got the music going to them and dancing and stuff. It looks like you're having a ball.
Oh yeah. And then like I've been doing dance videos, just goofy fun dance videos since like early fall and stuff, but then like I submerged myself into TikTok and now I've been doing random TikTok things, and it's been bringing happiness and joy to people, and I love the feedback that people give me when I post them, and they're like, "Oh, this made my day," or like, "This made me smile." So it's kind of like been a really good little thing of like sunshine and all this nasty gray that's going on.
Well, I was going through your Twitter earlier, just kind of looking for stuff to talk about, and things like that. But yeah, I was having my coffee, enjoying your little videos with you dancing various places and stuff. So yeah, it brought some really humor to my life in the morning, so I really appreciated
Good. Well, thanks for watching my dumb videos.
it. Anyway, before I let you go here, any final thoughts you want the people to hear before we head off for the day? Well, it sounds like you got another podcast to record, but yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, I get to do my podcast in about an hour, and I got to make sure I don't have any other women's wrestling to catch up on for that. But if anyone follows me, you kind of know like my thought process and my campaign that I have. If you don't, then what it is that I love to preach that wrestling is for everyone. I want inclusivity and diversity to be accepted and not frowned upon anymore. Basically, if any show that I'm at, and if I can, I give my speech of that wrestling it doesn't tolerate racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, anything like that. If you're going to be a nasty, creepy pervert, just keep those thoughts and comments to yourself, as well as anything else that is ignorant or unnecessary. I want everyone to be happy, safe, and comfortable when they come to wrestling shows. If anyone is ever at a show that I'm working, or even if it's not a show that I'm working, and you hear people say nasty, ignorant comments, like shut that shit down, bring it to someone's attention, definitely come to me, unless you have someone else that you feel comfortable going to. If I'm not at a show, we just need to make sure that everyone feels welcome. No one should be made to feel uncomfortable at a wrestling show because someone wants to be racist or homophobic or transphobic. Like, that shit's just not okay.
Well, thank you so much for saying that because I love going to wrestling shows. I love when everyone's just kind of a family. That's the way the WAC shows make me feel. The Defy shows, out here, everyone's kind of the same. People going to all the different shows, and it just makes it a lot more fun when there's no ignorant a-holes in the crowd to ruin it for everyone.
Exactly. It's not that hard to, be a good person, and but like I said, I personally want everyone to be happy, safe, and comfortable, and I feel that wrestling is moving in a very good, positive way. We're going down a really good path. in making that, you know, a definite thing. Obviously, there's still a lot that people have to learn, but it's all a work in progress. But as long as we all stay happy and positive, I think things will be a-okay.
Well, step stool, Sarah. I look forward to hearing the show when it comes out, when Max releases it for us. Can't wait, and hopefully, look forward to seeing you at a Without a Cause show sometime, in the future here.
Yeah, Max, if you listen to this, please bring me out.
I'm gonna get on him, Max. He's kind of a jerk. No, he's Max. Seriously, he's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. I'm not just trying to put him over and, blow smoke, but he is a fabulous guy, and the people associated with him are great, great people.
Yes, absolutely. Big facts. I
Yeah.
adore everyone that I've come into contact with so far from Without a Cause. It's been great.
It's a flyer in, Max. Anyway, Sarah, you have a good rest of your day. Have fun doing your podcast, and thanks so much.
Thank you.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.